Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I am your host, Jake Golden, here with you, as always, on a pretty depressing night for the Blackhawks, losing 4-3 to the Vegas Golden Knights in Game 2 of the 2020 Stanley Cup Playoffs, in a loss that I don't think was very well deserved. I think we had a chance to win this game. I think we needed to cash in overtime. I think this would have been a really big win, a big overtime period for the Blackhawks themselves. And we just couldn't convert. Just a really disappointing night. But before I go ahead and get into the recap of this game, I want to make sure you guys know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions to be featured on any future Chi-Town Hockey Podcasts. We have my Blackhawks Instagram page at Blackhawks Topic, which I'm actually going to be doing an Instagram live video on here in the next minute or so. Get that started up. So just look for Instagram Lives on that page at Blackhawks Topic. That is my Blackhawks related Instagram page. After every post-game podcast I do, I will try to do an Instagram Live each time. So make sure you guys do look out for those. We have the podcast Instagram as well, chitownhockey.pod. We have the podcast Twitter, chitownpod. We have my personal Twitter account, jgolden777. And of course, we have the good old Gmail account, chitownhockeypod@gmail.com. So make sure to send in some questions, feedback, constructive criticism, all that is appreciated. So we're going to go ahead and get into the recap of this game here in one moment. Alright, so looking back at the Blackhawks 4-3 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights, I think a lot of things went wrong in the first period, which really kind of, the momentum didn't shift as soon as the Blackhawks would have liked. I think the first period was probably one of the sloppiest periods from the Blackhawks all playoffs long. Just in terms of defense, there was no offensive production. The goaltending, even from Corey Crawford, even with a great game four in Edmonton, moving on, he just didn't step up to the plate in the first period. As the game went on, Corey Crawford started to excel, and he showed his great puck tracking skills. He showed his good anticipation skills through the second half of the second period and onwards to the end of the game, even into overtime and the few shots he faced there. But mainly Corey Crawford really stepped up in the third period as the Golden Knights were pressing against the Blackhawks, trying to gain that 4-3 lead. And he stood up to the plate then. He kept this team, this mediocre team, this underdog team, in the game, gave him a chance to win, and I think that's the one thing I am mad about and disappointed in, is just the fact that Corey Crawford stepped up. He said, well, if they're not going to do it, I'll do it, and he kept this team in the game, and I think that's something that's really disappointing and something that I'm really disappointed in the offense and even the defense. The defense was not great today, even the whole game after Crawford stepped up. And like I said, if the defense had been good, I think the Blackhawks could have won this game. That second goal that was a kind of soft goal, if you want to call it that, on Corey Crawford, that I don't think, while it was a soft goal on Corey Crawford and something that could have been saved by Corey Crawford, I think that Keith, he didn't draw it back like he was supposed to in a situation like that. Keith pressed hard, he played body on puck, went to get that puck, and the puck, it just, the defenseman moved right around him. And that's what led to that 2-on-1, and that's what led to Corey Crawford, you know, he's got to make a decision on which guy do I cover on that 2-on-1, and he just plain out beat him. So that is definitely an issue from the defense. The Connor Murphy, not Mark Stone goal, the first goal that was scored by Riley Smith, I believe it was, I might be wrong, but was a terrible defensive positioning error from Connor Murphy. Connor Murphy was back behind the net trying to press on the puck while Kirby Dach also fought for the puck. But as a defenseman, you have to realize that you have a player in front of a net, in front of your net, and it is not the defender's job to go back behind the net and to have to fight for that puck. The center of that line is always supposed to be the one that is behind the net, around the net, who fights for the puck. The two defensemen are the ones who are supposed to be on the left and right sides of the net, and possibly as play shifts over to one side of the rink, then they shift over to one is on the side that the puck is on, and one is in the center of the net. Obviously not screening your goalie, but trying to get a block shot in there, something like that. And that was just not the case today. And Connor Murphy, you could see, did not play his best game today. He was supposed to be in front of that net. He was supposed to be on that right side of the net. If Connor Murphy was in position, that goal could have been prevented very easily. And that's a flaw from Connor Murphy that I saw today, and something that I wasn't impressed with, because in the playoffs, that stuff, those stupid mistakes, those mistakes are not supposed to happen. Those mistakes are not going to get you to the second round of the playoffs, and they're not going to win you the game, because one goal can mean all the difference. And we saw that today with the Vegas Golden Knights. We lost 4-3. Had Connor Murphy been in position and prevented that goal, this game very well could have been won by the Blackhawks. So that is an issue that I saw today with Connor Murphy. Connor Murphy did not play his best game. I was not impressed with Connor Murphy today. Obviously, the lines were switched up, the pairings were switched up a little bit, so they could have been a little bit, maybe there could have been some miscommunication there, you know, they're not exactly used to each other, stuff like that, because Jeremy Colleton was switching around the pairings a lot, especially in the first period when that goal was scored. But still, you need to have that on-ice awareness, and you need to be able to recognize where the puck is at all times, where all guys are on the ice at all times as a defenseman. Because as a defenseman, your job is to defend. And Connor Murphy did not do that on that goal. And that is something that is very disappointing. All right, so I already got to the second goal. The third goal. So the third goal was really, I don't think, anyone's fault, except for probably a defenseman. It was not at all Crawford's fault. It was not at all any offensive guys, their fault. It was pretty much just a bad bounce over to Mark Stone, and he was just able to whack that puck in while it was bouncing. So really just a bad bounce to Mark Stone, but there should have been someone there in front of the net. Again, this is an issue that has presented itself multiple times in this series, and even prior to this series, as is the defensemen are constantly out of position. If you're going to win a series, especially against a depth team like the Vegas Golden Knights who can score, you have to make sure that you are in position all of the time. You are making smart plays away from the puck, and you know where the puck is at all times and where guys are on the ice at all times. Because if you don't know any of that, you are not going to have success on the ice. The defense showed it a lot today. I was very disappointed in the defense. The defense played a absolutely just disgusting game. A game I really would like to have back. Especially because it's a playoff game. I literally don't even have words for how mad the defense made me today, because they just played a terrible game. It was just ridiculous how bad the defense played today. Very disappointing. Not at all what I think I was expecting, and I've gone in to this series looking at the defense with low expectations, because we are not at all a very, we don't really have that great of a defensive core group. At this point in time, like we did when we went on our cup runs. But anyway, getting on to the offense. So the offense produced a lot more today, obviously, with three goals. than it did 2 days ago in the loss, 4-1 loss to the Golden Knights. Patrick Kane had an assist on all three goals today against the Vegas Golden Knights. While Patrick Kane is not really scoring goals, he still is kind of setting guys up and still kind of producing, you know. Goals aren't always everything, and I think Patrick Kane is proving that because he was obviously a factor on every single goal that was scored today by his team. So if Patrick Kane was not there to set those guys up, then, I mean, you don't have any of those three goals, because especially that Strome goal. Patrick Kane coming down the ice on the right side of the ice has to make that saucer pass over to Strome. He's got to land it perfectly because it's landing right in front of Strome over the pad of Robin Lehner and through, I think, at least two or three defensemen. So he has to make that perfect pass, and he did it. So while Patrick Kane is not showing up on the goal scoring sheet, he definitely is showing up and making those smart plays away from the puck, and even with the puck, setting up his teammates. And he proved that today against the Golden Knights with those three assists, and he has officially moved up to third all-time in playoff points with 130, and the only two players that that are actually ahead of him are Stan Mikita with 150, I believe, and Dennis Savard with 145. So Patrick Kane climbing up in the record books in Chicago. So good performance from Patrick Kane today, but other than that, I was not exactly too satisfied with the team game today. I was not satisfied with Jeremy Colleton's coaching. Just kind of an overall disappointing game today, even though we scored three goals. But obviously, it's a plus that Kirby Dach did score his first NHL playoff goal. Kubalik continued his production a little bit with a power play goal, so at least the power play got a conversion there. So there were a couple of pluses there from the Blackhawks this game. However, it was not at all, I think, up to the standards that playoff hockey is going to need to be. If you're going to play playoff hockey, you need to play hard, you need to play strong, and you need to play a position-style game. Because I just mentioned it 5 minutes ago, you're not going to win in the playoffs if you're constantly out of position. And the Blackhawks were constantly out of position today when it came to the defensive aspect of the game. Very disappointing. From Natural Stat Trick, I believe, it's the team that wins Game 2 and goes up 2-0 in the series, it's an 86% chance to win the series in with a series of seven games. So obviously, Blackhawks having their chances have now been reduced from around a 25% chance prior to the series even being played to now an only 13% chance of winning the series. And I mentioned it to someone earlier today. If the Blackhawks lose to the Golden Knights, I want to see the Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup. And some people may think that's an absolutely absurd take. However, when you lose a playoff series, you have to look at it as the team that wins the Stanley Cup. If you lost to the team that wins the Stanley Cup, then you have more satisfaction in losing, I guess you could say. Because if you lose to the best team in the league, it feels a lot better losing to the best team in the league than it does to a team that loses in the second round or gets swept in the second round. You know, we saw it last year with Pittsburgh got swept by the Islanders. It would feel a lot better for Pittsburgh to have gotten swept by the eventual Stanley Cup champions than a team that eventually got swept by the Bruins in the next round. So there's more satisfaction when it comes to losing, and there's more hope for the Blackhawks. Obviously, I think this season, or this playoff series, is not going to define the Blackhawks' season. It's not going to define the Blackhawks, and it's definitely not going to be a prediction kind of thing for next year, because obviously next year we have a lot more depth guys coming in. when you just look at the lineup of guys that we have. You know, I mean, even P.S. Suter coming in, looking, he can possibly be the next Kirby Dach, next Artemi Panarin. He's got a very sharp shot, led the power play over there in Europe for the ZSC Lions. So he could potentially be a game-changing player. You know, you have great defensive prospects coming in, and Ian Mitchell, Evan Barrett is going to be coming in, even Andre Altabamarkian, who's most likely going to start the year in Rockford, is looking like he may be an NHL guy. Mackenzie Entwistle, he may be an NHL guy. However, Altabamarkian and Entwistle, not really looking like they're going to make that difference. But and they have a depth guy coming in, Matei Halupa, who could also play that fourth line role, that grinding role, something like that. That one of those kind of roles that kind of Dave Boland played or Christopher Stieg played, a role like that. So the Blackhawks have a bright future when it comes to prospects and guys coming in. Obviously, the one I'm the most high on is going to be Pius Suter coming in from Europe with that sharp shot I just talked about. That's going to help the Blackhawks tremendously, especially as they try to get their power play success back from last season, and hopefully continue the penalty kill success they've had this season, because those special teams, if we can sneak into the playoffs next year, if these guys come in, Suter, Halupa, Ian Mitchell comes in, solid defenseman Evan Barrett comes in, if we Andrew Shaw coming back, Andrew Shaw is a crucial piece to this team, a crucial guy, grinder, a crucial net front guy. He can help this team win. Zach Smith is a solid penalty killer, a solid fourth liner. You look at the two guys that are injured. You look at the guys that are stepping up, and Dominic Kubalik, Kirby Dach. If Dylan Strome and Alex DeBrincat can regain their stride, you know, Pia Suter coming in. These guys that are coming in, just the guys that are emerging, and then you still have the veterans that you have in Taves and Kane and guys who can produce, and then you have Kubalik in his prime. So if Pia Suter can come in and say he does score 20 goals or 30 goals, comes in and pulls a dominant Kubalik, you know, and Ian Mitchell comes in, solid defenseman, Andrew Shaw is back, Zach Smith is back, two depth guys. This team can be a playoff team next year, but it's going to need to be consistent, especially when it comes to the lines, the coaching, all that. One thing I have not been satisfied with this year from Jeremy Colleton is the constant switching up of the lines. It seems like there are just constant line switch-ups every single game or every other game. It's just I'm just not a fan of the way Jeremy Colleton has coached this team when it comes to actual gameplay. I can't comment on practices because I've never been to a practice. I don't sit there and listen to him out of practice. But it just seems when we're in the game time situations and when it comes to the lineups, when it comes to facing a team, it just seems like Jeremy Colleton is not the coach for this team. Very disappointing coaching performance from him, and you could see that was probably one of the reasons the Blackhawks struggled earlier in this game, is due to his bad coaching and his bad lineup changes. You know, it was 3 minutes in the game and he's already switching up the defensive pairings, so it's just absolutely ridiculous. And it's disappointing, too. You know, an NHL coach, it's just the performance that Jeremy Colleton has shown with this Blackhawks team is just, it's absurd. It's disappointing. It's absurd. It's something needs to change, whether it be he steps up or he's fired. I mean, there's really only two things that could possibly happen in a situation like this. Stan Bowman, I think, while he's made some controversial moves in the past, probably because of John McDonough, he's put together a pretty decent team here, I have to say. I think if I had a choice to fire him and hire another guy, I think I probably would. But I don't think the hate that's going around for Stan Bowman at this point in time is really fair for him, because he's put a solid team together. You know, he's done pretty good in the draft, and you can see that in Kirby Dach. You know, Kirby Dach was projected to go around 9-15 in the 2019 draft, and obviously selected at number 3 overall, and he's arguably the best player from that draft class. Jack Hughes is not off to a very good start. Kaapo Kakko, he is not off to a very good start. Kirby Dach has emerged as a second-line center in not even 1 year in the NHL, and, you know, Stan Bowman has proved he can put together a good team. Obviously, some people have an argument for that statement because Dale Tallon drafted the core of this franchise. Mike Smith drafted Corey Crawford and Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith. That wasn't exactly Stan Bowman, but you know what? You look at the championship years, and this is where I have a problem with people saying Stan Bowman is a bad general manager, because as you win Stanley Cups, it is very hard. It is very hard to keep solid core guys like Kane and Taves and Keith and Seabrook and Crawford, and even bringing solid guys like Darling, like Ranta, and then keep guys around that core, guys like Dave Boland, really those third and fourth line guys like that. You know, even bringing in Brad Richards, Christopher Stieg, Marcus Kruger. As you win Stanley Cups, you have to pay guys more and more. And as you have to put money, more money, over to those guys, you have less money for the depth guys and the depth defensemen. And it is very, very hard to keep a depth roster around a core group of guys like that. It is very hard to still keep a solid 1 and 2 defensive pairing with a solid 3 defensive pairing. It is very hard to keep 1 and 2 great forward lines with 2 solid depth forward lines. That is very hard, especially as you win cups and you have to pay guys more. So you have to give Stan Bowman credit for the job he's done as the Blackhawks general manager. And you look at some of the controversial moves from the past couple of years. Obviously, trading Nicholas Hjalmarsson, that was a really bad trade. Obviously, Connor Murphy, he's a pretty good defenseman, but there is nothing like Nick Hjalmarsson, arguably the best defensive defenseman in the league. The dude just blocked everything that came his way. So that, I think, was more McDonough-driven. The Artemi Panarin trade, I don't think Stan Bowman is really that dumb enough. I think you could even see it in the interview at the draft when they traded Artemi Panarin. Stan Bowman was not happy, and you could see that was probably McDonough-driven. I have a source. I'm not going to confirm the source, but it's like a really inside source that I've talked to, really close to Stan Bowman, that can confirm that John McDonough is just as bad and even worse than people were accusing him of being. So that just tells you, you know, it was a pretty hostile work environment under John McDonough, and John McDonough could have been the one that made this team a loser, a downfallen team. This could have been John McDonough, you know. And it just sucks that the blame is being put on Stan Bowman. However, I do think that now that it's been almost 10 years, I think it's time the Blackhawks, only because of Stan Bowman's excellent scouting staff and Stan Bowman's excellent taste and drafting skills, I would probably demote Stan Bowman to director of amateur scouting, VP of scouting, president of amateur scouting, something like that in the scouting and draft role, a role in the draft and development of players and scouting of players, something like that, because Stan Bowman has proved as GM for the 10 years that he has been the general manager of the Blackhawks, he has proved that that is one of his strong suits. So I wouldn't let Stan Bowman go, because draft picks are a big part of this Blackhawks team, especially in the next couple of years, as you have Seabrook on his contract. Kane and Taves have identical $10.5 million contracts for the next couple of years. You are going to need guys that come in from the draft, sign an entry-level deal for $925K or less, that can still perform and provide offense, and that's something that Kirby Dach has shown. And hopefully, signing Pius Suter will definitely help, because Pius Suter being signed on an ELC, he's gotten a lot of praise from Marcus Kruger and from Dominic Kubalik, two players that Pius Suter has played with and knows. I've seen that he has a very sharp shot. He led the power play for the ZSC Lions over in Europe. The power play is the Blackhawks' number one weakness. As much as it was their strong suit last year, I don't know what possibly could have gone wrong over the offseason, but it is their number one weakness this year. So if they can keep the penalty kill from this year, and they can develop the power play back to what it was last year with Pius Suter there at the point on the dots, that sharp shot, especially with Kubalik over there at the wing, Suter over there at the wing, keep Patrick Kane on the point, his wrist shots from the point, or you could even put Pius Suter back on the point with his sharp shot. Those guys are kind of interchangeable. Andrew Shaw will be back and on the power play. Keep that net front guy there. Keep Jonathan Toews as your center. He's shown he can win faceoffs. He's shown he can win those battles against the boards. He can just always come up with the puck in those one-on-one, two-on-two battles on the power play especially, and that's big. So having a guy like Pius Suter come in with the shot he has, a comparable to Dominic Kubalik, that is going to be big for the Blackhawks. That's going to help the Blackhawks, something I'm certainly looking forward to. He's probably the number one guy I'm hyped on the most coming into this next season, and a guy that I think is going to make a tremendous impact on the Blackhawks, and something that, you know, Stan Bowman has done well, because you know what, if a guy can come in with a really low cap hit, under $1 million, and still produce for your team really nicely, that is a big thing in the NHL. That is a big thing in the NHL, especially in a salary cap world, and especially the next 3 years where the salary cap is going to remain flat. Where it's going to remain flat, and you're going to need those guys under $1 million to come in and produce for your team in the NHL. That is what the NHL is turning into. It's already turned into that. You see it in the New York Rangers. They're going to be drafting Alexi Lafreniere. They're going to need him to come in and produce at the low amount of money that they're going to give him on that entry-level contract. And if he can do that, I have the Rangers as a Stanley Cup contender for next year, because that's where the NHL's headed. It's already there, and that's a big thing that the Blackhawks need to use to their advantage, is bringing in guys like Suter and drafting a guy. Obviously, our pick is not going to be as high as it was last year, but I think with the guys we have coming in, and Ian Mitchell, Evan Barrett, Andre Altuve-Marque, and Pius Suter, like I mentioned, there are guys coming in. And if they can produce Mackenzie Entwistle, if they can produce, that's a big thing for the Blackhawks. This draft, I really, really, really hope the Blackhawks select a centerman, because the Blackhawks, you know, there's been some speculation around trading Dylan Strome. But one thing that's been an issue with the Blackhawks for many, many years, even in the dynasty, is the center depth. I mean, you have Jonathan Toews, you have Kirby Doc. Even during the dynasty, we really did have just two centermen. Sometimes we didn't even have that number two centerman. But during the dynasty, we usually had that one and two center, but it was always kind of switched up there in the 3 and 4 center spot. So if the Blackhawks could stop, this draft is loaded. This draft has a lot of guys that will be able to come into the NHL in the next 1 to 3 years and make a difference. This draft is probably one of the best drafts in probably 10, 15 years. This draft is going to be crazy. It's going to be great for the Blackhawks with getting this playoff experience, but still being able to get a draft pick where you can select a pretty decent guy. So I personally believe that the Blackhawks should focus on the center and forward role, because if you trade away Dylan Strome, you have Toews and Doc for that interchangeable 1 and 2 center line position. Those two are going to be interchangeable as Doc keeps developing. So if you keep those two, those are solid. But if you get rid of Strome, and even the speculation around trading Alex DeBrincat, you don't really have any NHL-ready guys that are ready to come in and replace those two. And I don't think it's right to give up on Alex DeBrincat, especially after one bad year. Because you know what? Every player has one bad year. And you know what? I don't really want to get into the NFL, but if you're a Blackhawks fan, you're most likely also a Bears fan. You saw it last year, Mitch Trubisky off year, bad year for Mitch Trubisky. He had a great year the year before when the Bears made it to the playoffs for the first time since 2010. Aaron Rodgers is allowed to have an off year. Tom Brady's allowed to have an off year, but Mitch Trubisky's not. Alex DeBrincat's not. And that's where you can really kind of interchange all of the sports in the aspect of there are going to be off years for players. There are. And that needs to be noticed from Blackhawks fans and from even just casual hockey fans is that there are going to be off years. And I don't think it's right to give up on Alex DeBrincat after just one bad year. Maybe you give him 2 years. I think next year, I think he's going to bounce back a little bit. I do not think he's going to score 41 goals with that 15% shooting percentage he had last year. I don't think that's going to happen again for Alex DeBrincat in his career, except for maybe once, because that was an incredible performance from him. That was when the power play was booming. Obviously, this year it's not. But I don't think it's right to give up on him after 1 year. I think he can still be a very viable option for the Blackhawks on the second line and on the first line. He showed he can be versatile. He hasn't really showed up this year that much in the scoring aspect, but you know what? I have noticed, and just seeing some highlights and looking at some other games, you know, the replay games they got going on NHL Network and whatever, is that he's made some decent plays away from the puck. I don't think it's as bad as people are really perceiving it to be. I don't think that this obviously has been an off year for him in goals, and kind of in assists, but I don't think this has been an off year for him in his development in the NHL, and his NHL development in his career path in the NHL. I think Alex DeBrincat has a bright future in the NHL. Obviously, everyone's going to have one bad year, and you know what? It's a good thing Alex DeBrincat had it early in his career. It'll help him learn. It'll help him grow. So that's definitely something that will help Alex DeBrincat, and hopefully he returns to form in the next few years. But Dylan Strome, he obviously is a restricted free agent at the end of this year. And, you know, while he scored a goal tonight against the Golden Knights on a sharp pass from Kane, I'm not impressed with him in the playoffs. And I wasn't really too impressed with him in the regular season either. I think when we came into the season, it was predicted that Dylan Strome could have had a contract offer for around $5 to $6 million. And he just keeps losing money every shift that he goes out there and takes. Because he's not producing at a crazy level. He's not really helping the team at a crazy level. And, you know, he's just making Stan Bowman's job really easy right now. Because, you know what, in the flat cap world, there are going to be decisions that need to be made. Moves are going to need to be made in these next 3 years as the salary cap remains stalemate at, what is it, $81.5 million for each team. So there are going to be need to be decisions. There are going to be moves that need to be made, and you know what? The playoffs are a time to prove your worth, to prove you're worthy to this team and in this league. And Dylan Strome is just playing himself right out of a contract right now. He's playing himself right out of a deal, and in a flat cap world, he could be playing himself right out of the NHL. Seriously, but I don't. So in recap, because I know that was a lot. Don't give up on DeBrincat just yet, but we're going to need to see something from Strome in these next couple of games that we have left against Vegas. Otherwise, the Stan Bowman's decision is going to be really easy. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break here on the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Golden, with you as always. I'll be back with you in 60 seconds or less. All right, welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Golden, here with you as always. Want to get into a few listener questions I've gotten here on the Instagram Live. that I'm doing on my Instagram page related to the Blackhawks at Blackhawks topic. Make sure to go follow that. Getting close to 500 followers, so make sure to go follow that. Got some nice graphics out there for you guys. Daily posts, discussions, all that stuff, interactive content. Everything you guys want is on my Instagram page at Blackhawks topic. The best Blackhawks content on Instagram, so make sure to go check it out. All the support is really appreciated, always. So I want to make sure you know how to get in touch with the podcast one more time. Instagram page at ChiTownHockey.pod, Twitter page ChiTownPod. We have the my personal Twitter account, JakeGolden777. We have the Gmail account, ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. My Blackhawks Twitter page, same username as the Instagram, at Blackhawks topic. And, of course, we have the my Blackhawks Reddit Instagram currently live streaming the podcast at Blackhawks topic also. So, want to get into a question here. Why can't DeBrincat score? This one, I think, is more of a kind of a plain general question that I got. But I kind of explained that, you know, DeBrincat, he's done a little bit more away from the puck this year than I think he did last year. This year, I think an 8.8% shooting percentage from him this year, which is a big drop from his 15% of last year. But he's done more away from the puck. He's done more in kind of the setting up plays. I don't think he had a terrible season, but I think there needs to be more production there because obviously you win games with goals and assists. So I think he needed to produce a little bit better in that aspect. He did not produce up to the level that I think his, $6.7 million contract, says he should when it comes to, producing net next year. I think, if you're being paid $6.7 million and you can't produce next year, I think that's a different story. I think that's where Stan Bowman really starts to look at this and, just kind of starts to think, I mean, what's going on? And, you know, maybe there's some possible trade options to kind of get, you know, depth players, stuff like that, to kind of rebuild this team even more than he has. I think if DeBrincat is producing the same way as he is next year that he was this year, I don't think that losing DeBrincat is going to be that bad for the Blackhawks. Obviously, a $6.7 million contract, so you know what, if he can produce again, and he can produce at around 30 goals, then that's a big thing for the Blackhawks. But if he cannot, and he stays how he stayed this year, obviously working well away from the puck, but that's not what wins you games, goals, and assists does. If he can't get that, if he cannot succeed in the goal scoring and assists aspect of things, then there is going to be an issue with the Blackhawks. There's going to be an issue probably with Stan Bowman because of the contract he just signed. Anyway, moving on, I got one more question here that I want to go ahead and answer. My Stanley Cup predictions and my playoff predictions. So I'll start out with the Western Conference, my picks, and then I'll get over to the Eastern. So the bracket, obviously we have Vegas playing Chicago. I picked Chicago, but I picked them in 7 games. Obviously, that, you know, sadly might not happen, but I did pick Chicago in 7 games. Moving on to the, I'll go by as I remember this, the series. So we have the Blues and the Canucks. I picked the Blues to win. The Flames and the Stars, I picked the Flames to win. And there's one more. I'm blanking right now. Let me think of what it was. I know there's one more series, and I'm really blanking here because I'm literally just blanking here. I know there's one more series in the Western, and I'm just completely forgetting what that series is. Oh, the Avalanche and the Coyotes. I picked the Avalanche to win. Moving on to the Eastern, the Bruins and the Canes. I picked the Canes to win that series. The Islanders and the Capitals. I picked the Islanders to win that series. The Flyers and the Habs. I picked the Flyers to win that series. And the Lightning and the Blue Jackets. I did pick the Lightning to win that series. So now, obviously, my predictions, the Blackhawks, I had over the Golden Knights. I had the Blackhawks losing to the Avalanche. that beat Arizona, and then I had St. Louis beating Calgary, who beat St. Louis beating Calgary in the second round, who beat the Dallas Stars. And then in the conference final, I had the Avalanche beating the St. Louis Blues, moving on to the Stanley Cup final, the Colorado Avalanche. In the East, I had the Philadelphia Flyers beating the Islanders. Philadelphia Flyers moving on to the conference finals, beating the Islanders in the second round. I also had... I then had the Canes beating the Lightning. I had the Canes beating... the Canes beating the Lightning. I had the Canes and the Flyers in the Eastern Conference Final. I have the Flyers moving on to the Stanley Cup Final. And I have the Flyers winning it all. I just think the Flyers are a well-built team. They have a wonderful coach. They've bought into his system. They respect their coach. Carter Hart is playing amazing. I just think if there's going to be a Stanley Cup champion this year, I think it is either going to be Vegas, Colorado, or Philadelphia. Obviously, like I said, I'd rather Vegas win because I'd have more satisfaction in losing to them. I don't really want to see Colorado win, but I think they have a decent shot. But the team I think has the best shot at it. I think the Flyers really do have a good shot at this. I'd love to see them win the Stanley Cup. I think that team deserves it. I think Alain Vigneault, their head coach, deserves that Stanley Cup win. After just an amazing performance turnaround from the Flyers this year, after missing the playoffs last year under Dale Hextall. So I officially have the Philadelphia Flyers to win the Stanley Cup final. So those are my playoff predictions. I also had the bracket up on my Instagram page at Blackhawks Topic, currently on the live stream here, if I haven't mentioned it enough for you guys. So you can go check out that graphic if you'd like to. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Before we end this thing, I want to make sure you guys know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions. The Instagram, ChiTownHockey.pod, the Twitter, ChiTownPod, my Blackhawks-related Instagram account on the live video right now. Blackhawks Topic, Twitter account, same username, at Blackhawks Topic. What's the next one? The Gmail account, ChiTownHockeyPod at gmail.com. The my personal Twitter account, at JGolden777. And I think that's it. Too many to go through. And then, of course, really appreciate it if you guys would subscribe, rate, and review. That helps the podcast. That goes a really long way in just climbing up the rankings, getting more listeners. That all helps. And then, obviously, the live video. Want to talk about that for a sec. After every post-game recap podcast that I do, I will continue to try and do a live video on my Instagram page at Blackhawks Topic. I put a lot of work into that account, spend a lot of long hours working on graphics, figuring out stuff to post, communicating with you guys, trying to do interactive stuff. So if you guys could go follow me on that Instagram page at Blackhawks Topic, that would be very much appreciated. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Despite the overtime loss to the Vegas Golden Knights, I know some of you may be in depression right now, but that's okay. Make sure to have a great rest of your... I mean, what the hell? I'm so pissed off. I don't even know what the day is. So whatever today is, make sure you have a great rest of it, and I'll see you guys in the next podcast.